Is this, like Secretary Puno says, part of your standard operating procedure?
On the first question, perhaps the instruction did not reach all the major personalities, but some major personnel went out and did the lawful order.
Okay.
And when the chief of reports or news from ABS-CBN arrived, perhaps it was too late already. The operation should have started on time.
Couldn't you release them on recognizance?
The question is as to whether all media personalities can be distinguished by the men on the ground, because some were allowed to leave by merely identifying themselves through their identification cards or by their by presenting themselves.
Okay.
They were recognized.
Louis, what's wrong with what happened last November 29?
Well, for one thing, it was, I think, the first time that it's ever happened in the Philippines. Didn't happen during the martial law period when journalists were covering the event. The second thing, of course, is that it sends an intimidating message to the entire media community that you could be arrested for covering the event.
Okay.
So, while it seems reasonable that the police would want to identify who are legitimate media people, it also seems reasonable to expect that those who are in possession of identification right there on site should have been recognized as legitimate media people as well. I thought that it was totally unnecessary for the whole thing to, I mean, even the question of why did the media become the news, for example, when the media became the news, because they were arrested in the first place.
That became a story.
There are people who say that that shouldn't have happened, that the media should not have covered the media, but the media in the first place is legitimate, and in the second place, by every definition of news, that became news.
Okay, but you know, it can also be argued very hell that, for example, when we get to the center of the news, we become the news itself, we lose our objectivity. We're not able to cover it from a very a third-party point of view.
A bad journalist would, but a good journalist wouldn't. It's a matter of how good one is as a journalist, how well he understands his duty as a journalist.
How can you cut your bias when you yourself are the story?
I could. It's a matter of training. You've been there, done it often enough, and learned your lessons, and you'll be able to do it. But the problem is, it's not that. The problem is that what you have here is a news territory. You expect journalists to be there.
Yes, but Secretary Gonzalez said his warning to everybody is like a police line.
Yeah, the journalists shouldn't, and I hope, and I would imagine, wouldn't mind being warned, being advised, but being ordered is another matter. It is not for the police to order the journalists to get out of that place. That happens to be their natural territory. It's a new set. And this must be taken in the context of the political situation. Journalists today would like to get as close to the news as possible because the regular sources like the authorities have become unreliable sources.
Isn't that correct, Colonel?
The handcuffing was not intended for journalists per se, because it was done for anybody who did not heed the local order. So it can happen to anyone, whether you're a journalist or not. If you were still inside the hotel before the operation started, you could be arrested.
Yes, but Colonel, why should the journalist, as Verhel says, whose natural territory is right beside the news source, why should they be asked to leave?
There is a clear definition on how we look at these things. We consider the entire hotel as a crime scene. A crisis situation was happening in that hotel. And so there was a need for us to isolate the civilians, to include the media, from the group of Senator Trillanes.
Yes.
And by saying isolating would mean that we are requesting them to stop temporarily from their collection of information.
What was the crime happening?
The fugitives were inside that hotel, and we were about to serve the warrants. Mm-hmm. And when people were mixed with the targets, the suspects, mm-hmm. our first option is to isolate the civilians, mm-hmm. in this case, including the media. Okay. If they were interested yeah. in collecting information, mm-hmm. they could do it after the operation, because we wouldn't want them to get in the harm's way.
We have to make a distinction between ordinary civilians and media people, because media people perform a critical duty, a duty to the public interest, people's right to know. Mm-hmm. Now, what I do not understand is why the police could not work or strategize around the media.
But they were all over the place. The police can say they were all over the place, mixed in with everybody else.
That's why the police say. You know, I was there.
Okay.
I was there. And I got out. Why? Because I had my own. I make, as a journalist, I make my rules as a matter of the nature of the news business. I make the rules as I go along. I was there. Mm-hmm. I was there. Mm-hmm. I stayed on until the situation broke through my comfort limits. When two tear gas bombs exploded in the lobby, because I was in the lobby, I left.
Okay.
And got out.
Okay.
Meaning, every journalist has his comfort limits, and every journalist has his own understanding of his duty as a journalist. Let them alone. But to say that a journalist might be there to obstruct justice, it's another matter. Journalists will do that. Mm-hmm. And it speaks of the quality of our policemen that they are unable to distinguish. Mm-hmm. Even after these people have been held in the lobby between journalists and non-journalists, I don't understand that.
Okay.
It was too difficult for us to do that, because not everyone among the BNP on the ground mm-hmm. could recognize a journalist.
Okay.
Perhaps it is Chalasabo.
Yeah. Well, there were some personalities there, but every press person had an ID. Mm-hmm. So, Louis, couldn't you also say, for example, like the colonel saying they had to do an operation, couldn't the journalists have covered it from another area?
I suppose they could have, but as Berhel was saying, I mean, every journalist looks at the news event from a certain angle and from a certain viewpoint. I mean, he's constantly interpreting what's going on, and therefore he has to decide where he's going to position himself and so on. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand the problem of the police, but the point seems to be that rather than err on the side of violating the right of the journalist to honor his story, the police could have erred on protecting that freedom, the freedom of the journalist too. Therefore, what could have been done was just to the usual thing that has always happened, as Maria pointed out. I mean, there didn't used to be this problem.
Okay, have you changed the rules of engagement?
We are trying to make some revisions. That's the reason why we have been calling for some dialogues. We had already one dialogue, but we didn't reach any
conclusion.
We will not stop until we have discussed this with the media.
No, but as pointed out earlier, the rules seem to have changed. Let me go back to Berhel a while ago. Berhel, you've been in the business for so long. Is there any precedent for this happening at the peninsula?
No, not even in Marcos's days. This has never happened.
But Marcos clamped down on the press.
Oh, that's right. It was a martial law. And if you don't, we supposedly don't have martial law today. Mm-hmm. This is happening.
Oh, okay. I can't recall any incident in which media people covering an event were arrested. I mean, you were arrested later.
Was that the first? You were arrested later.
Yeah.
Picked up from your home.
Yeah, picked up at your house.
But even before they did that, they had to bring down martial law.
Okay, Colonel, this is the first time that this has happened. There's no precedent that sets it apart. Why did you order an arrest of the journalist?
This has something to do with the setting up of the police line. I heard earlier that we didn't have a police line at all. The entire conflict area, the entire hotel, was the conflict area, that we could not have set up a police line in the entire hotel. Mm-hmm. And so anybody who was inside the conflict area, at first, were requested to leave.
Okay.
Then after that, mm-hmm. Before we could have started the police operation, the PNP started arresting mm-hmm. those who were still inside okay. the conflict area.
Could it be said, Louis, that journalists were arrogant, that journalists were a little cavalier about their roles in the Peninsula siege?
Well, the thing is, the colonel is saying that there was a figurative police line, but a police line, to my mind, is a literal one. I mean, you know,
there is
you do set up lines,
okay,
that are literal and you know physical.
And even a police line, I mean, a journalist may still feel he break through the police line.
And does he have a right to do that?
I don't know whether he has or he doesn't. All I know is that a journalist may break through a police line if he feels, for instance, that there is something beyond it that he needs to see and observe, and it's probably being kept from him. I mean, he does it all the time. He takes the risk.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably be taken to court.
The usual protocol, of course, is to respect police lines, but there are always exceptions to this.
Okay.
To this
could this have been an exception? Because it was, Louis says, there was no physical police line, and that the drama, so to speak, was unfolding. And to withdraw, for a journalist to move back and step back and not cover it, would be almost like a mortal sin in a journalist. Book of rules.
It took almost 6 hours for the PNP to request the media to leave the area. And when nothing happened, the police already entered the hotel, and everybody who was inside that could be mistaken for a suspect.
Mm-hmm. But we should look at what happened before that.
Okay.
These suspects, this accused, was sprung from court. They walked some kilometers of Main Street. It took some hours to do that. The police were not there.
That's the
thing. They were able to book themselves in a hotel. And that's why the media were able to get the story quickly enough.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, most of the media caught the story inside the hotel.
Okay.
Meaning, the police, the authorities themselves, had their own inefficiencies.
Okay.
Before this happened, but why not focus on the media? Why not correct things in another way?
All right. Let me ask you a point blank question, Colonel. Did the police make any mistakes in this November 29th siege?
Perhaps there were lapses on the ground because those who were making the arrest were overseers in doing. They did not know who were legitimate media personalities and who were not.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, it can happen. They could not recognize the ordinary suspects and the media personalities. But as I was saying, a civilian who would have been inside the conflict area
mm-hmm.
would also be getting the same treatment, not mm-hmm. only the media.
Okay.
Even if the waiter would have been there, he would also be arrested.
All right. On hindsight, if you were to redo this, would you have done things differently?
Perhaps what we could do is to improve the system, especially on those who are actually on the ground making the arrest
mm-hmm.
on the
But you will still arrest a journalist who crosses the police line?
We have to follow our mandate. The right to freedom or the right of expression mm-hmm. to us should not subvert the greater interest of public safety and security. Just like in any crisis situation,
okay.
we always isolate people from the crisis conflict.
Mm-hmm.
We request them to be evacuated
right.
for their own safety, because
okay.
to avoid injury or death.
Yes.
And if still they would not obliged, then we have to make another request until we...
Okay, but you know, journalists have experienced that when they're not there, things happen. And in this case, Colonel, you are referring to a hierarchy of rights. Do you agree with his statement that the rights of a journalist are superseded by the rights of the state? Perhaps.
Oh yeah, in the hierarchy of freedom, freedom of expression, freedom of the press, rank highest.
Over and above supersedes the right of the police to keep
law and order. On the very freedom that the Church of Democracy is built.
Do you agree with that, Colonel?
The job of the media is actually first to collect the information. Mm-hmm. We look at it as temporarily suspending that right in collecting information. Anyway, they can be provided with the necessary information after a police operation.
That's primary strength. You are preventing a journalist from doing his job. His job of serving the people's right to know urgently. It's an urgent public interest. And I would also say that free expression, and that includes press freedom, is also in behalf of the state, because we must realize that the state is made up of the people, for example, the government, so on and so forth.
Yes.
And what the press does is to provide the information that people need, so that the democratic debate can continue.
Okay.
And I think when you curtail that, it damages the state, actually.
So we actually do not curtail that, per se. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to say is that we are protecting these media personalities from getting into harm's way. We believe that they should not be injured or killed in a conflict area.
Okay.
Well, the problem with that is, I think, I don't know journalists who will say, okay, protect me. I mean, most of them will say, I go in there and I know the risk, as I think Ellen said earlier.
She would not blame the police.
And that happens all over the planet. I mean, you know, people in Afghanistan covering the Taliban.
Do we have to wait for the explosions, for the tear gas, before we even leave the conflict area? I think before it's even done, we should have already left the area.
The problem is, you are making decisions for the journalists. The journalists have made their decisions. They have decided, they have looked at this event, and they have decided this. They look at this event in the context of their duty to the public interest, to the people's right to know, and their own comfort limits. Mm-hmm. When am I going to run?
Yeah.
After two, three explosions? After three, or am I going to stay? That's a choice made by the journalist. Uh-huh. But stop making the choices for him.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let me posit a question to you, Colonel. You said earlier, I mean, the PNP has been making statements that they want to protect the journalist, that the journalist was obstructing justice. No? What would the PNP have done to Senators Trillanes, General Lim, and all of the other Mandela soldiers that could not have been done while the journalists were there?
The purpose of the PNP in getting inside was to serve the warrants of arrest.
Could it not have been served with 100 journalists watching?
There was a tendency that the situation would have escalated to something else.
Uh-huh.
The security of Senator Trillanes were armed. We did not know where they were all positioned. They were everywhere.
Okay.
So it was too difficult for us to just get inside and serve the warrants and think that they would not put up a fight at all.
All right. But, you know, having said that, these two gentlemen say these journalists go to war, whether imagined or real, fully equipped with that knowledge, right?
Yeah. I remember officers going inside and surveying the place, so they would have known what obtained in that situation at the time.
So the police had a job to do.
Yes.
But why did the media turn into the collateral damage? I mean, you have to arrest. They have to arrest Senator Trillanes and company. And so
do you think there's a middle ground? Is there a meeting point here?
I think the only meeting point would be the realization that press freedom is too important to be treated lightly. it is too important for the Justice Secretary, for example, to be issuing vague threats. It's too important for the police to risk undermining it, whether intentionally or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is the public's right to know suffers, the democratic debate suffers.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are, there's been talk about this being a crime scene and so on and so forth, but I think Maria Ressa was absolutely correct. This was a political crisis. It wasn't an ordinary crime. It wasn't a holdup, it wasn't a kidnapping and so on. It was a political event.
Okay.
Which had to be discussed by the people. And therefore, in order for them to discuss that, they had to know about it. And that's why the media come in. They had to report it.
Do you agree with that, Colonel?
Our mandate is to enforce the laws and maintain peace. If there are instances where conflicts would result, or what we could do really is to just stand by our mandate. We have to enforce it.
So are you an immovable force in this issue?
There are instances also that we can be flexible. Yeah. And this is the reason why we are trying to call for some dialogues with the media.
Okay, is there something to dialogue about?
If the idea is to simply to understand each other's duties, there is. But if the idea is for the authorities to impose their way and their will on the media, there cannot be any dialogue. Because they should understand what the media are about.
Okay.
And it seems to me that even the Justice Secretary doesn't understand that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rahel, Colonel Bartolome, and Louis for joining us tonight. Any journalist will say that it is unethical to become the story. And there is no doubt that in the Makati standoff, journalists did become the story. But there are times when we must drop the book and stand up for the principle of truth that makes us journalists. The law can decide on violations from either side, yet these cannot deny the public its constitutionally protected right to free speech. When a government demands that the journalists submit to an arbitrary definition of what truths he can seek, when and how he can seek it, that is a call to arms to all who are in defense of truth. I'm Chacha Lazaro. You've been watching Media in Focus. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you again next week.